Last month, the hotel heiress, billionaire Leona Helmsley passed away at the age of 87. She had, prior to her death, had a mausoleum erected outside of New York City worth $1.4 million. And she had wanted it, she told the keeper of the cemetery, she had wanted it to make sure that it would always be the largest one in the cemetery. In her will, it is established that there is about $1 million plus annually just to help with the upkeep of her mausoleum, which caused one New York columnist to write this: "You may not be able to take it with you when you die, but you sure can spend a lot of it getting there." Where will your body someday be laid to rest? That's maybe something that those of us with a little gray in our hair have given some thought to, but more than likely those of you in classes today haven't maybe thought too much about that. A lot of things may change in your life between now and when that day comes. It's possible that you may have absolutely no input in that decision. And for the most part, where you are finally interred in the ground or so on is irrelevant. In the account before us, however, Joseph wants to make sure that his burial has great significance for his family and those who would follow after him. And the Lord felt that this incident was noteworthy for all of us to know and had it recorded in the scriptures for our learning. Joseph wishes to make his burial a confession of his faith in his Savior. He wants to honor God even in his death. Despite the level of power that he had risen to in Egypt, despite the lavish lifestyle he probably was permitted to live and the wealth that he enjoyed in his position, he wants it to be known in his death and in his burial that he has absolutely no spiritual ties to the false gods of the Egyptians. And for this reason, the author of Hebrews chapter 11, the great heroes chapter, makes note even of this great event. He wanted to demonstrate that he was trusting in the great promises of the coming Christ, the promises that were given to Abraham and the patriarchs. He wanted it to be known that he was looking forward to a new land and that he was trusting in the coming resurrection. And he wanted to be identified and found with the faithful in this world. 400 years later, we're told that Moses made sure on the night of the Exodus that they took Joseph's body with them. And I always wonder, who were the men that were probably on the detail as they traveled for 40 years through the wilderness who had to make sure to carry Joseph's remains through the desert? And then they finally buried him in Shechem. What a powerful reminder to the children of Israel of what really matters in life. There are certain spiritual lessons which God would have us learn from this account. One is that we should set our hopes forward, beyond the grave, to the everlasting home our Savior has won for us. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And secondly, notice here the great calm and peace with which Joseph can approach his impending death. I think of a prisoner waiting for his execution who's on death row, and imagine him looking through the bars of his cell out into the prison yard and out at the gate where the very electric chair sits where he would be executed, and how he fears that gate and having to go through it someday. And then suddenly news arrives that he's been pardoned by the governor, a full pardon, and the next day he is to be released. How differently he looks at that gate. You and I can look at death at times and be so terrified by it. But Christ has come to go through it for us, to pay for all of our sins, to give us the hope of everlasting life. And we now can look at that future event as freedom, eternal freedom that our Savior has come to give us. And finally, God would have us recognize the great benefit that there is in being able to go and visit the graves of His faithful. There is no more wonderful conversation that could take place over your grave someday than to have your children or grandchildren talking about how you passed on Christ to them, or someone to visit your grave and recall how you confessed your Savior and made sure that others knew about that. Down in northeastern Iowa, outside of a town called Decorah, there's a little humble church and a little marker there of one of its early pastors, a pastor by the name of Ulrich Wilhelm Koren. And if you read the stories of his life, he never had very much wealth at all, lived in what we would consider extreme poverty today. And yet by his great faith and his testimony to his Savior, even though he didn't possess much in the world's riches, he possessed a treasure and made sure to pass on a treasure to future generations that was greater than anything this world could offer. Think what Joseph could have built to himself in terms of a monument in Egypt. But let those who worship the world's riches and wealth go and build their mausoleums. But may you and I, in Christian faith, say with Christ's faithful, "Instead, take me to the burial site of the confessors of my Savior." As the book of Hebrews says, "Remember those who rule over you, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Amen.